Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
The funny guy.
The funny guy. Trying to be funny tonight.
And this week, we are super excited to talk to you about the best queues. That means the places you wait in line at Disney World.
Yeah, usually the queues are places you don't want to be.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about why these queues are the best queues in all of Disney World.
What's
worth
the premise?
What's the premise
on this, right? So you know, we're not, none of the three, I can't even talk. None of the three of us are Nobel laureates, right?
You're the closest.
No. No. I'm not even the baldest.
So I think
that's true.
This topic came to mind months ago. I think because I like the queues at Disney. I think Disney, they have this queue theory, right? They have this queue philosophy where, you know, if you're going to go to an amusement park, you're going to wait in line. And we've all been to like Six Flags or Universal does a pretty good job nowadays. But back in the day, Astroworld, Six Flags, the queues were just horrible. You just wait in line and you go back and forth, and it just took forever. It seemed like it just took forever. Well, Disney has taken this concept of waiting in line and turned it into an art. To an art form.
I want to point out, Disney started that way too, right? I mean, you watch all of the,
that's true.
The video from, you know, when Disneyland opened in the 50s, and you see people standing in very ordinary roped lines, like you would expect at any carnival or whatever like that. So I think what makes this a cool episode to talk about, we're talking about the same thing we always do, how the Imagineers take a concept and they transform it into something uniquely Disney, and then everybody else copies them. I mean, is that a fair?
Yeah, no,
way
I
to
think
put
that's
it?
Fair. That's I think fair. That's very fair. I think somewhere along the line, and if we were really good podcasters, we would have done some deep dive research and figured out which was the first queue that really offered this.
Not Nobel laureates, so research optional.
But yeah, to your point, somewhere along the line, some Imagineer said, "What if we made it fun?"
Uh-huh.
And introduced the idea of let's have an interactive queue of some kind that people can enjoy waiting, because we know they're going to be waiting 30 minutes, an hour, 2-3 hours sometimes.
I mean, I know we're going to dive deep into this, but for you guys, what's the first most memorable queue that pops into your mind?
Oh,
good question.
Probably Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy for me. Pirates. Yeah. Disneyland Pirates, right?
You know? Yeah, I would say Disneyland for me is the Indiana Jones,
because
it's a massive queue. It's so long, but they used to have these little cards, and maybe they still do. I don't know. I've just never gotten one where it was like a Ovaltine decoder, and you would go through.
I remember that.
Yeah, all the hieroglyphics that are on the walls, you would be able to decode.
I don't want to lose track of that, because I think that's going to be something fun to talk about. But yeah, I remember that. I mean, I could think of other attractions where we've done something similar. That's why it'd be good to talk about. But yeah, that for me, that's what I remember as a little kid. It's the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland. And the first thing I notice, forget the outside, forget going in. The first thing I notice the second you walk in the doors is you see these people eating at a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I mean, so you got to think about it a little bit. The queue is more than just your traditional standing in line sort of thing. The queue actually can also come from the vantage point of the people not in it, but looking at it. Flight of Passage, great example of that, right? You're in the world of Pandora for a chunk of that queue on the outside. I remember the first time I got in that, we lined up all the way in Africa. That's how long it was, right? It was a 3.5 hour wait. We started in Africa to get there. And by the time we finally walked through the gate there at the Flight of Passage and you're in Pandora, now it's a new thing. Think about all the people who weren't in that line. They were watching the people in that line, and they were like, man, I want to be there. So the queue goes both ways. I could be just completely blathering on.
Well, I think the other thing it does, and again, this is an Imagineering genius, is that it helps build the story, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just a matter of I'm standing in this roped off line or in this, you know, zigzag snake back and forth. I'm actually being told the story or shown the story that I'm getting into or what the attraction is going to be about. And it's building that up and building that up so that by the time I actually get to the attraction, now I'm completely immersed in the story. I understand why we're doing what we're doing, why we're getting on the Banshees. So it, again, it's, or whatever, right? Why we're joining Indiana Jones on this adventure, or chasing after this dinosaur that's been missing for however long, or, you know, yeah, whatever the sure. ride is, it's building that story and layering that story so that you're more immersed in the action.
Yeah. So let's give some credit here. Instead of coming up with our own ranking list, I did find this website, askthemouse.com, and we'll put a link to this in our show notes. Oops, I just touched the... askthemouse.com. I think February of this year is when they came out with this. They basically tiered all of Walt Disney World's attractions, their queues, into these five tiers. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5-star tiers. With the 1-star tiers being pretty much just a line, and the 5-star being the ultimate most immersive queue that you can do. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of go through this list that they have created, and we can critique it, agree with it, not agree with it, make fun of it. But again, askthemouse.com, we're gonna give them credit for this list. So
which mouse do you think they're talking about?
Ask the mouse. The mouse.
Can we just break away for just 1 second? So we are here recording. We should have mentioned that we tried to move a 300-pound water heater out of Randy's attic. And we're just like sitting here in a drenched
minimum,
in sweat.
Minimum 300 pounds. Minimum. At least double its weight.
Yes. So anyway.
All right. I like this. I like this idea. All right. So maybe I know we talked about starting from the top, but I think actually now that I'm looking at the list that you sent us, Ryan, on this website, maybe we start from the bottom.
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
Yeah.
So here's how they identify tier one queues. The identifying factor with a 1-star queue is that you immediately feel like you are in a line the second you enter the queue. There's just not a lot to make the experience more bearable. And they mention here Tomorrowland, Transit Authority, or the People Mover. That's true. Carousel Progress is true. Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth, though, you kind of just hop right onto the ride once you get inside.
Yeah, but if you're, you know what? I think it's a good, fair point, because if you're stuck outside and you're weaving through those metal bars and stuff like that, I see people out there waiting. No, I'm not trying.
Yeah, because that's not going to try. If you're outside, you're a good 45-minute wait, and you're not going to wait that long.
And pointlessly, because it's a continually loading ride. Yeah. I'll never understand for the life of me why any continually loading ride doesn't continually load.
This should have hit our pet peeves.
It did, yes.
Yeah.
So 99% of the queue is outside on that ride. Yeah. Grand Fiesta Tour, Los Tres Caballeros, again... That's if you wait more than 5 minutes for that attraction.
No, I agree about the waiting, but I'm not sure that I totally agree. I mean, the queue is inside the Mexico Temple pyramid.
Yeah, so you're still
right?
in the restaurant, which is good.
Yeah, but shopping, or drinking shots of something, or I think they do that. I've never done that.
It's a very short queue, though.
It is a super.
So if it's long, there's a problem, right?
Like, yeah.
Have you ever waited longer than 15 minutes to get on that?
No,
I haven't. I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah. Living with the Land, again, not waiting more than 10 minutes for that attraction, and very boring queue. Jungle Cruise, this is one that I have a hard time with, because this is, it's a long wait, it's outside, it is usually 45 minutes to an hour, and you're just weaving back and forth with very little to look at.
You have lots to look at. You're watching everyone with a lightning lane get on before you.
That's true. And I mean, what are they, 2 feet wide?
Yeah.
Like you were cramped.
It's tight. Here's my thing about Jungle Cruise. I maybe personally could have rated it slightly higher in the past when they had all the jokes and the stuff. They took it all out, and now it's just bland wood and rope. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
They don't even do like the fake radio announcements or nothing? Wow.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Well, I would have put Jungle Cruise up a notch. As well, maybe just to a number two tier, but
and I think as we get going with these tiers, we'll kind of identify which ones can move up or move down. Alien Swirling Saucers, yeah. So this is the Astro Orbiter. I haven't done that since I was a kid. I will not get in an elevator to take a 1-story trip on the chance that I get stuck. I will not do that. So I have no opinion on the Astro Orbiter's queue. Anyway, the Speedway,
That's a brutal queue.
It is.
Yeah.
Again, that's one, if you're having to wait more than 15 minutes, you may as well just give up. You'll probably die of carbon monoxide poisoning. Yes,
agreed. Waiting, asphyxiation going on
there. The worst part about it is you start out in a shaded area and you end up waiting for the longest part in an unshaded area right next to the sun, like next to it.
But they're changing that at Disneyland here pretty soon. Pretty soon it'll be the electric cars.
I've heard that.
Yeah, we'll see. And last one in their tier one, and this one I probably disagree with. This is Soarin' Around the World. I think I disagree with this one. I think the queue, because they have the game that you can play. If they didn't have the game, I would say this is just a long walk down a hallway.
Here's the thing, though, about that game.
Actually, I think I know where you're going with this.
So this might actually be a good time to talk about the other ones, too, that I was going to bring up. You don't get a chance to play that game. You're going to walk. You're walking forever. I mean, you probably do 3, 4, 5, 10 miles before the time you walk in to the time that the cast member stops you and you pick out whether you're going this way, that way, or that way, right? You don't actually, the line doesn't stay long enough for you to play the game. You're walking past the game and then you're going to go wait somewhere else forever. So I see this one. I also think that it's just too dadgum long.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. It's very bland in there, very non-themed, if that's a word.
Purple.
Yeah, it's just, you don't feel like you're going into an airport of any kind or any sort of transport of any kind. It just feels like you're in this, like you said, this long hallway going, you know, underground, up this ramp.
You're going down. Yeah. You keep going down. You're like, why are we going down? Where are we going? You know, and what makes it so disappointing is if you compare it to Soarin' in California.
Yeah, totally.
What a great
difference.
I mean, you're in an airplane hangar, like you get it, it makes sense. Yeah. That's a great
key. Yeah, and they have all those I don't know if you've caught this, but they have all those stories of all the different aviators across, you know, history and time, and it's just really entertaining. And you, again, it's all about getting you in the theming of going on this hang glider soaring ride. And again, the Soarin', you know, there in Disney World is just, there's no theming whatsoever. And it's disappointing because they could do so much with that much space.
They got plenty of space.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move up to 2-star ride queues. So again, according to the website, 2-star ride queues are where it falls off. So coming down from the 3-star, this is where it falls off by, according to Disney standards. If these rides were at any other theme park, these would be all top tier queues.
Oh my goodness.
Kind of a shot there. All right, so
I'm not sure about that, but okay.
I'm not sure. So we got Rockin' Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith.
Look, that's fair. Until you actually get in the studio, the queue kind of sucks. First of all, most of it's outdoors.
Yep.
Like overwhelmingly outdoors, kind of close quarters. Then like the one cool thing you could do once you get indoors is you could see maybe if your name pops up on the screen while they're rolling through some stuff, but it never does. And sometimes it doesn't even work.
Yeah.
And then it's another one where you're just going to sit there. And if you don't have a lightning lane, you're going to stand there for forever watching all the lightning lanes just keep going by, keep going by.
Do you know, I know that it was down for a while. Do you know that when they, so they just brought it back up recently. Did they, the band scene, that's not going again, is it? Is that totally done with? I know.
In the studio.
No, it's still there.
Yeah.
They altered it a little bit. Like the Les Paul is back in its spot and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah, it's still.
Okay.
It's the same attraction. I don't know what they did, but it better be better.
You know, they just Aerosmith retired.
I have heard they've adjusted a little bit of the lighting inside the actual attraction.
Okay. All right. So next is Kilimanjaro Safaris. That's just a long, long wait until you get to the Jeeps. Slinky Dog Dash. I would actually put this on tier one. This is the worst queue, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Absolutely,
it's not even funny anymore because every time you turn the corner, you're like, there's more.
Yeah. It's 100% outside. It's so hot. Very little is shaded. Nothing to look at. And I've gotten to the point now where if this ride is like 30 minutes or longer, I'm not going to get on it.
Yeah.
Because
agreed.
Of the queue. Frozen Ever After.
Not sure I agree with this.
Yeah, I'm a strong disagree on this.
I think that's actually a really great queue.
It can take a while to get through it, but once you get inside the building, it's pretty charming.
I think the I think the juxtaposition here is, are you inside or are you outside? If you're stuck outside, yeah, that's going to be terrible. But the second you get inside, it's great. First of all, it's air conditioned. You're out of the sun. And I just think it's very charming that you've gone into this Nordic place.
Right. And I think the other thing is, like, once you get to Oaken's...
Oh, Oaken saunas. Oh, like, hilarious.
That changes everything.
Yeah, it outstanding. Makes,
that was such an ingenious move of the designers and the Imagineers of that ride to put him in there just as a little break in the action of waiting in the queue. I mean, you don't want to leave that room. You want to continue to watch him.
I wish it was a little earlier in the queue, to tell you the truth. Sure. It's a little bit towards the end, but it is. It is absolutely genius, and I look forward to that part every time.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. It's a Small World.
Horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah. That's actually, for me, at Disney World, that's a 1-star queue.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mad Tea Party, I haven't done in years. I get sick and vomit. So.
Well, again, it's an outside queue. It's like a brick wall that you just kind of wind around. So I can see where it's a 2, probably at like a 1.5 even.
It's really more of a carnival style attraction. It's Tough to Be a Bug. Great show. I wouldn't say, I mean, there.
I think it's interesting that you're walking up into the Tree of Life there. Yeah. So, and there's things to see and look at that are a little unique. You're looking at all the kind of reliefs carved into the area and trying to identify some of the stuff. So, I don't know. I think overall, is it a super exciting one? Not really, because, again, this is one where there's not a long line. So you actually don't even get a chance to enjoy those. You're just walking through it.
And pro tip, they got those movie poster board things that
those are great.
They're great, right? They're funny to look at and see the play that they're doing on play on words that they're doing.
I'm going to be sad when they take it away. So, what are they putting there? A Zootopia attraction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mission Space. I refuse to get on that one.
So actually, I think the queue for that's really cool. And my pro tip on that one is follow the directions. When they tell you that if you experience motion sickness, you should not ride, they're serious.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't ride Orange.
Oh, 100%. Monsters, Inc., Laugh Floor. Honestly, I don't remember the queue on this one.
So actually, I think it's okay. You know, it's your typical show, right? So you're going to go through a thing and then you're all going to go stand in a spot. That's probably a little bit of the same criticism of It's Tough to Be a Bug. You walk through something, it seems okay, and then you're all just going to stand there, and then it's a free-for-all once the doors open, okay? Now, the one thing that Laugh Floor has going for it is Mike Wazowski's up there. He's telling some jokes. You see some other people. The pre-show, I think, is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And you actually get to participate in the pre-show. They give you an opportunity to submit your own joke that could be used in the show. So, I don't know. I think 2 maybe is a little harsh for Laugh Floor.
That's fair.
I agree. I'm with you on that one, Randy.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I would say I saw another website where they had this attraction as a top queue because of the interactive part that the kids can play with.
I wouldn't say that it's top queue, but I would certainly not say it's a 2.
It's not a 2.
I think
it's
pretty fun, interactive. The whole like honey wipe away beehive thing is really cool. There's some fun little bongo drums in there in Rabbit's garden.
Toad.
Yeah, it's no Mr. Toad, but a 2 I have a hard time with.
Yeah. All right, Journey into Imagination with Figment. Yeah. And the Seas with Nemo and Friends.
You forgot the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
Oh, did I miss that?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Right above Journey to Imagination.
Oh, I did miss that. That probably was intentional.
I think Tiki Room is right up there with Tough to Be a Bug and those pre-show, you know, again, you're waiting outside. There is some entertainment value. I think Jose is out there talking to you, or one of the birds is out there talking to you. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But,
I would say the Tiki Room for me was one of those I was excited because they had the little fire feature outside, and I expected more from the attraction, from the show itself. So. Yeah.
The Seas with Nemo, just a quick one on that, is just, man, when you're walking over there and you finally get in that queue, the air conditioning in that building is phenomenal. I don't know what it is, if they pump it up extra high because you're supposed to be under the water or something.
Yeah, you
but
just
it
go
is.
Find a little corner to curl up in.
Yeah, and it's nice and dark. You could probably take a nap.
All right.
But it moves. I mean, that's an incredibly long line, but it moves.
That's true. All right, so 3-star ride queues.
Here we go.
All right, so now we get into the nitty-gritty. 3-star ride queues feature thematic elements and solid visuals. They definitely add something to the ride, but not in the same way as the elite ride queues. All right, so in this website's 3-star ride queues, they have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
See, that's one I'm not sure I agree with.
Yeah, I don't.
I think that's an elite queue, right? You're talking about when and so here's maybe the disclaimer, when all the elements of the queue are working.
True.
Okay. There's a lot of interactive things, and in fact, there's things that you do that directly impact the experience that riders will have, right? The ability to go blow something up in the distance and have the water spurt up. Like, you get to do that from inside.
Yeah.
That's not just by random. And so I think that that's not just something that adds a little something to the ride. That is part of the ride.
True. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think it's probably...
Would I make it a 5-star? Probably not, but yeah. I think it's probably a pretty solid 4.
Because when you look at the next attraction on this list, this is where I would put Big Thunder above, because Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, to me, is... What's in there? Boring. What's in that queue?
The queue's lame. The queue's horrible. And the carpet's all wore out now.
Yeah. So to me, that's a 1-star. That's a 1-star queue.
It smells really bad in there now. Yeah. All of a sudden, it didn't used to anyways. Yeah.
Now, they do have, once you get inside the theater there, they do have some of those, like, dresses and, what is it? Like, they used to have over at Star Wars Launch Bay, artifacts and things. No. Not at Walt Disney Presents.
Yeah.
They have, like, a dress from a movie. Presents. Yeah. So, anyway. All right, Peter Pan's Flight. I think Peter Pan's Flight's a great queue.
I do too. I think it's better than the ride.
It's better than the attraction. Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as interaction and being able to, you know, ring the shadow bells and just play in the nursery and some of the interactive things that they got there, they did a really good job.
Trying to find Tinkerbell as she flies through the room and
yeah.
Randy's not, I don't think he's buying it.
Yeah, he's not on that train.
I'm not on the Peter Pan train.
Well, are you on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train? Because that's what's next.
Well, so this is an interesting one. With basically maybe 2 exceptions, I think that queue is lame.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, so when you get to the spinning barrels, that's brilliant, that's right? When you get to the whistling water, that's kind of cool too. But other than those 2 things that basically kind of happen back to back.
Right.
You're just standing out there forever, part of it outside in the nature with the bugs, and then the other part inside where it's kind of cold and stinky. I don't really like that queue.
I would say, though, on the outside...
And it takes forever.
It is mostly shaded, and they do have fans that do
they,
help move
they
the
do.
Air.
They do. That's kind of true.
Kind of, yeah. All right. Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. I think the queue is crap. It smells bad. Yeah. There.
How is this a 3?
Yeah,
maybe because of the animatronic of Buzz, but other than that, I can't see it.
I can't see it either.
I don't see it.
Space Mountain.
Again, for
so,
me.
This is one that I think is rated too high in its current form. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was going to bring this up, and so I'm glad it fits in here. You know, remember back in the day, Space Mountain, you used to get to play a game.
Right.
And all those TV screens that are there while you're walking through the station, like it was a game that you got to do. That made a lot of sense. They don't have that anymore. And so they replaced it with a digital game, right? On the Play Disney Parks app. And there was actually multiple Space Mountain games that you could play. And they were pretty cool. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of that because I'm like, hey, this is just draining my battery while I'm waiting in this line. But that was kind of cool. One of them was they had the hieroglyphs up there, and you'd have to match them up. And if you did certain things, you could do it. And then finally, when you got into the room, you would actually have a race, right, with spaceships, and you could see it on the ceiling. All gone. Now the game that they have on there, it's this lame thing. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't do anything. It's just the one thing. All gone. The queue is dark. It is dirty. It is smelly. It is noisy. It is long.
Tell us how you feel, Randy.
Yeah.
2-star.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I won't go into all that detail, but I just, to me, it doesn't bring any sort of entertainment value whatsoever. Yeah. I totally
Which it used to. And I guess that's what really gets me so down about it is, you know, we talk sometimes about the attractions that have a lot of potential. this one was living up to it and we nerfed it. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Okay, next is Navi River Journey. I've done this attraction once or twice. I don't remember the queue. The attraction is...
I mean, it's similar to all the other things that you see in Pandora. It's similar to Flight of Passage. It's similar to just walking around. It's pretty. I don't think it does anything for you, but it's very pretty. You know, you got the sounds of the wildlife and everything like that. You go in, it's dark. It's kind of cool. So
so it's ranked accordingly.
But is it a 3-star? Like, if you're going to say, they're saying Big Thunder Mountain's a 3-star. No way is this a 3-star then. If Big Thunder Mountain's a 3-star, this is a 2-star. If Big Thunder Mountain is a 4-star, then maybe that's okay.
Okay, that's fair. And then last one on the 3-star ride queues, we have Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Yeah, so just to kind of piggyback on what Randy was just saying, this is an interesting list for the 3s because I think that for me, just going through this, Big Thunder, Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railroad, Peter Pan, Seven Dwarfs, Buzz, Space Mountain, Navi, Remy's, it's like 50-50 split for me of, yeah, I think this is a 3, or no, I really don't. This is not... And again, maybe this is where we're bad-mouthing the selection here, but I just don't agree. I'd say that probably half of these need to be bumped down to 2s.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on.
Real controversy is about to start.
This is going to be interesting. So 4-star ride queues. All right, let's just get into it. 4 stars. They have Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I'm just going to go out there right away. I'm going to say it right now. I disagree with every single one of these.
Whoa.
There's not a single one on here. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's just a 4-star. I don't agree with a single one.
Yeah.
Well, here's what they say about it. So this is the website. They say Cosmic Rewind has a fantastic queue, the 6th best at Disney World. The only aspect leaving it out of the top 5 is that there can be long pauses between the ride queue videos, which interrupts the precious immersive experience.
I don't think I agree with that. It's nonstop. I mean, even when you just get into the main area and you're listening to World Mind, like, show you everything, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be seen there. I've never stood in there, and I've stood in there when the line was long. I've never stood in there and watched it loop all the way through.
Hmm.
So basically show all of the things I have to do and show over. Now, when you get upstairs, you'll see some of those things over and over again. But there's also other things to take a look at and see and do. You've got the diorama there of Xandar. You've got the uniforms. You've got ships. You've got all the videos. I can't fathom how this isn't one of the upper echelon top rides. And again, I'm going to say that actually for every single one of them on this list.
I agree. I 100% agree. Like, everything you just said, I'm totally with you on Guardians.
All right. So also 4-star. I disagree with this one, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
It boggles your mind.
Boggles my mind.
This is actually the biggest part of being scared about that ride is going through the queue, even starting outdoors. Okay, so if you wanted to downgrade it because there is a long outdoor portion, man, going through that courtyard, it's beautiful. It's mostly shaded.
Courtyard.
They even have misters out there to keep you cool while
it's
going on.
And they have a water fountain out there.
I don't get it.
And when you get inside the actual hotel, then the theming just pops. You know you're in an attraction. You know you're going to have this wonderful, somewhat terrifying experience. And you get to go into the room and listen to the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror music and introduction. And it's just everything about this attraction, about the queue, to me is 5-star.
The queue sets you up for the thrill you experience on the attraction itself. 100%, I think.
Yeah.
I think the other thing about these last two is that they drop so many great Easter egg little hints and stuff like that throughout the queue and throughout the experience. I mean, to me, that's what makes it what these should be 5-stars, these two at least. Now, as we get into some of these other, maybe we'll have some disagreement on how many Easter eggs they use and just different theming experiences that they have, but I don't know. I'm with you guys on these.
Yeah, and this is what really perturbs me is that they have Dinosaur in the same class as Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. Dinosaur, I don't remember anything in that queue other than seeing Mrs. Huxtable.
Yeah, Felicia Rashad.
Yes.
There is a huge fossil of the dinosaur.
I mean, you basically, I feel like you're walking into Jurassic Park, right? You know, the main thing.
I feel like I'm in a T-Rex or whatever.
You're in a history museum.
Yeah.
And you get down there, Look, I think it's a really lame queue. Okay, so this one is rated totally way lame. Too high.
Way too high.
Way too high. It should be way down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Toy Story. I think Dak has opinions on this one.
Yeah.
I do. This is a tough queue for me. It's those barred off, you know, lines of separation, and you're just snaking back and forth. The only thing I enjoy about this queue is Mr. Potato Head. Like, or am I mixing this up with Disneyland? No, he's there. What am I thinking?
He's there. He's there.
So, it's just, I mean, as far as like making you feel like a toy and you're in games and stuff like that. Yeah, there's some fun pictures and things like that. And if you're a kid of the 80s and 90s, it's fun to see some of the old, you know,
yeah,
boys that are, you know, portrayed there. But it's just, I don't know. Yeah, a 4, not.
No.
To me, this is a 3, maybe even a 2.
Yeah, it's a 3 or a 2.
It's probably a 3 for me.
I think I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I just don't. It is. I agree with you 100% on this, Dak. There's parts of it to me that just don't make a ton of sense. Like, you walk up the stairs to immediately go down the stairs, right?
Yes,
and yeah. I'm like, well, I understand why they do that, because the ride goes through here. Well, maybe we should have engineered that a little bit better.
Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of sense. Design, we just have these random stairs, and then we get to the top and we go for 10 feet and then we go down those stairs. Like, I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't like it. It takes too long, by the way. That's my biggest complaint about Toy Story
Mania.
True. Never what the posted time says. Great ride, though.
Great ride. Fantastic. 5-star ride. All right. Smuggler's Run, the next 4-star ride queue. Nope. Disagree.
Cannot disagree.
Disagree.
More.
Yeah, that
from the moment
the mind.
You get in line, you are immersed in the Star Wars universe.
The Millennium Falcon is right there.
It's right there.
You're walking through it. You see it.
And
there's the things going on in the garage. There's all sorts of stuff. Like, you really feel like you're there. This is, in my opinion, probably the most immersive in terms of a queue of what you're about to go do for the actual attraction. Because at the end of it, you're on the bridge, well, the recreation deck, basically, area of the Falcon, right? Like, this is the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's just so many cool artifacts and things as you're going through the queue. Again, to me, a good measuring stick of a great queue is I don't want to rush through it.
Yeah.
I want to be able to see what's going on. And I feel that way almost every time I'm getting on this ride.
Yeah.
I wish I had more time in the queue to notice all the little trinkets and everything that's going on.
Do you feel that
and
way,
to have a better look at the Falcon.
Do you feel that way about Star Tours, which is next on the list? I don't.
Yeah. I mean, Star Tours is cool. I think the concept and the imagineering of, you know, the thought process of what Star Tours is, genius, right? Like, I love that there's luggage and there's Rex there and he's telling you how to get on the, you know, transport and all these things. And there's the radio announcement of you being able to go and take a vacation in Hoth. Genius.
This is a solid 3-star. It's not a 4.
Yeah. But as far as entertainment value and immersion, I don't know. Yeah, there could be a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay. So to your point, Dak, this is what the website says about Star Tours. Star Tours is yet another ride with good visuals and a fun storyline. As an older ride, we don't expect the same technology as the rides at Galaxy's Edge. Star Tours is a 3-star ride queue that gets a 4-star status because of its excellent design, R2-D2, C-3PO animatronics, unique exterior ride queue, and rich history. That's what Dak just said.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a 3-star queue.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. And last one, Tron.
Hard no.
I mean, are you kidding me? I put this one right up there next to the Millennium Falcon, right? There's nothing that I think prepares you more for what you're about to do than this particular queue. You even start out there by going through the digitizer, right?
Yeah.
If you understand what's happening, you realize, oh, I've just been digitized into the world of Tron. I disagree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, there's a
the
few
music.
Yeah, there's a few instances at Disney World where there's a mind blown experience, you know, the first two or three times that you go through it. And Tron is one of those experiences, right? When they unfrost that pane, that window, and I don't hope I'm not spoiling this for anyone. It's been open long enough. You should have been on it already.
Yeah. But 12 years in Tokyo.
Yeah. When they do that and you get to see the ride vehicles and everything changes and just the music and how they suck you into that experience, the first couple of times that you do it, it is just, and then to be in the room when other people are experiencing it for the first time, it's just so great.
And if you've got a Magic Band Plus, your band actually activates at certain points in that queue to be part of it, too. I just think it's one of those things. By the way, we often in these episodes try not to say things that date the episode itself. But one of the things taking place right now is the Summer Olympics in Paris. And I don't know if y'all caught this, but in the lead up to the men's 100-meter final, which had some of the biggest fanfare I've ever seen for an individual event before, they were playing the music from Tron.
Nice. Really? I didn't were catch they? That.
Yep. I'm going to rewatch awesome. That. No.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That's
so
great.
It was, so if that tells you anything, and that's the same music you're hearing in this queue, if that tells you anything about how immersive and important that whole thing is to setting you up for a moment of significance. And riding this attraction is a moment of significance.
We've talked
folks.
About this. One of the best soundtracks ever created for a movie. It's in the ride. Well, they've created their own soundtrack for the ride, very similar to what's in the movie. Just amazing, amazing music. All right. So now we arrive to 5-star. I don't think we're going to have any disagreement with this, but these are fun. So we'll go from number 5 to number 1. So Pirates of the Caribbean, or Pirates of the Caribbean, however you want to say it. Excellent, excellent. Fantastic queue. I love everything about, yeah, you wait outside for a little bit, but you are shaded. And I think once you get inside the building, you just feel like you're in Tortuga. You just feel like you're exploring the city with Jack Sparrow next to you. It's the music, the smells, the kind of the ambient lighting. To me, it is just an amazing experience, just top to bottom.
Yeah.
Starting with the queue all the way through the ride.
Agreed.
All right, Expedition Everest, Legend of the Forbidden Mountain.
Look, this is one where I'm like, well, if Big Thunder Mountain's only a 3-star, how is this a 5-star, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad queue. I love the queue. I think it's a great queue. Yeah. But in terms of what you're getting out of it, I don't know. I think it's okay.
I think Everest
This might be a little bit of a stretch for me. Maybe this is more of a solid 4, but I could make the case for it.
I think Everest does a great job. I think they did a great job with Everest paying tribute to what Everest is, which sure. is this amazing journey for anyone who climbs Mount Everest. The locals, the natives who live there, they have a lot of artifacts, a lot of things to look at, a lot of things to read while you're in the queue. That's why I think it's above. I still think Big Thunder is a great queue, but I do put Everest. I have no problem putting Everest above Big Thunder because of all the artifacts they do have in the queue. But honestly, you seem to rider that anyway. So
yeah,
I'm not gonna cry over it being ranked here. Yeah. But you know, maybe it's a little higher than I would have put. So
all right, now I actually have. So the next one is Avatar: Flight of Passage. I have an issue with this. I think it's a fine queue.
Too dadgum long.
It's so long, and to me, it only really gets good kind of when you get to the science laboratory.
Yeah,
I think up to that point, it's just a lot of weaving back and forth in a cave. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's painful weaving, it's too, a painful actually. Weave. Like I literally physically hurt by the time I get to where I need to go. So
because you go around a corner, you're like, oh, we're almost there. Oh, nope, there's 30 more minutes of waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, just to throw my 2 cents in, this is one that I would probably drop down to a 4 and bring Tron or Guardians up.
Well, I think the point would be, right, if you're going to put the Millennium Falcon down below, how is this one higher, right?
Yeah.
In
yeah,
terms of, I think what the queue is trying to deliver for you, pretty much on par. You're understanding what Alpha Centauri Expeditions is and what it does, how you're gonna kind of fit into the whole scheme of it. You're walking through Pandora, but yeah, it's just too long for me.
Yeah. All right. And in second place, they have the Haunted Mansion. We had this discussion in the pre-show, Deck.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an interesting question. So, and we could probably go back and ask this question on a lot of these rides, is when in your mind does the ride start and the queue end for some of these longer interactive queues, which has become pretty popular, right? I mean, even just going back to Tron, when does the queue end? I mean, there's several interactive moments in the Tron queue, not just when you're being digitized outside, but as you go into the building and then you turn the corner and you're like, oh, I'm still in a queue here.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Haunted Mansion, right? You step into the stretching room, the experience starts. Are you out of the queue at that point, or does the queue continue as you go through the, you know, hallway and stuff? I think you could argue both sides of it.
Yeah.
But
you make that argument for Falcon. You can make that argument for...
Definitely for Rise of the Resistance. I think
without a doubt you make that for Guardians,
absolutely,
right? Like
I think the question is the pre-show part of the attraction or is it part of the queue?
And that's why it's a great question, because on all of these after the pre-show, you go wait in another line.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
And I think that's the genius of, again, going back to the genius of the Imagineers, is like, hey, we have to plan for a certain flow of crowds and people coming through this. How can we slow that down to manage it so that this group is not running into the back of this group and we have this good flow, hopefully a good flow of ride vehicles being accessed and exited and all of these things. And so, hey, we build in a pre-show and that helps alleviate some of those stress points. So, it's a genius way of handling a ride queue without people just standing in one more snake of the barred off or the roped off, you know, queue.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to the number one, according to AskTheMouse.com. Their number one queue is Rise of the Resistance. Honestly, hard to argue with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, this is a big one where you could ask the question, when does the actual ride experience start for you? Does it start when you see the hologram of Rey and you're in that room? Or does it actually start when you get onto the transport vehicle and you actually start moving through the ride? My opinion is that the actual ride itself starts when I see Rey. When I'm in that room and she comes out in the hologram and BB-8's there and all that, to me, that's when the ride starts.
Yeah, I bet you Disney would say that the ride starts when you hop on the escape vehicle, and that Rey and all that, the stormtroopers, the stormtrooper gallery there, that's all part of the pre-show. That's all part of the queue. But I don't argue your point, Dak. I think it's either way, from the time you get in line, when you walk underneath that sign outside to when you get inside, you're pretty much immersed in Star Wars the entire time.
I think it's brilliant. I mean, when you get into the caves and stuff, there's even like the knobs and switches on the walls, and you can turn them and they don't do anything, right? You almost feel like you shouldn't touch it because you're like, well, I don't want to turn the light off, kind of a thing. But, you know, that's all part of it, is you're there and you can still be, I don't know. I think it's brilliant. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I would have a hard time arguing with this being the number one as well. I mean, like you said, even if you're in the cave and you get to the point where you start to see that green screen of the mapping, and then you come in and the armory and you see all of the different, you know, blasters and so forth, it's just, and uniforms and everything, it's just very immersive. And, you know, again, to me, a good cue is when I can't figure out if I'm on the ride yet or I'm still in the queue, that's excellent, right?
Yeah.
If I'm going through the queue and I don't want to rush through it, excellent. That's the best measuring stick for me of a great queue.
I think we hit a home run on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, again, we'll post the website on the show notes, askthemouse.com. Honestly, I think they did a pretty good job, and they have a lot more descriptive paragraphs in the article about why they gave some of these attractions, why they ranked them in certain tiers and whatnot. So pretty good article. Overall, not bad. I think we would have made some changes and moved some up, moved some down.
I think that's the beauty of it, right, is to have those kind of conversations and for all of us to kind of put ourselves in the situation in the moment and have our debate and go around and figure it out. I mean, I love those kinds of intellectual exercises, right? You know, we all have such unique experiences ourselves and points of view on how we take things. Even here, you know, we weren't all completely in agreement on all of those changes we would make individually. Yeah. So I do. I think they did a great job. Love seeing what other people kind of come up with. And frankly, even the one where they upgraded Star Tours, and, you know, my conclusion was, well, you can make the rankings whatever you want when you justify it however you want, right? Yeah, that's fair, because it's your website. So good job, y'all.
Yes.
Well, listen, we'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite queue? So give us a like, a follow on any of our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We'd love to hear from you and what you think is the best queue at Disney World.
Later.
Bye.